We're going to go to Genesis chapter 8 tonight. It's a familiar story I'm sure you may know about, but you may not know how it's going to go because I'm going to preach and teach hopefully tonight what we can learn from what Noah went through during the flood and what we're going through in this pandemic, as well as any place in our life for that matter. So as you have been hearing, and many times my preaching lately is all about waiting and looking for God for the right answers, to have our ears and our hearts and our minds and our souls just always attuned to God's spirit and God's guidance and God's direction, who will never lead us astray. And so in the early part of Genesis, we hear that because of the problems on the earth with humanity and the depravity that was there, and there was only Noah that was really one righteous person left on the planet, God and because of his total exasperation with people, decided to destroy the earth with water. Although God is still a merciful God, and God saw that Noah was righteous and he had a family, and consequently, God relented on destroying everything and everybody. So Noah was asked to build an ark so that his family and the animals could go into the ark, and then they would be preserved for the future. And I don't know if you know all this, but Noah was about 500 years old when he started to build the ark. Took him 100 years. Obviously a little time consuming to say the least. He was faithful though. He never stopped. He kept building that ark until the time was right for God to bring the waters. And he was 600 years old when he entered the ark. And all the animals went in, his family, there were eight of them in total, and the animals two by two went into the ark. The ark was huge, just large. I mean, I forget exactly the cubits, and it was magnanimous. I'm going to use that big word. I love that word. It was massive, enough so that every species of animal could be on that ark. And so then the flood came and covered the earth. It came from the bottom up through the waters below, and it began, went all the way up to the mountaintops, and then the ark began to float. And so there was Noah, his wife, and sons, their wives, and all the animals on the ark. So there they were in quarantine, if you will, on this ark. Oh, I know you like that comment. Okay, so imagine that, though. I mean, I know some of us are like, we have cabin fever, and we've got, you know, it's like, oh, I've got to get out of the house. I got to get back to work. I'm bored. I'm this. I'm that. I want to get back outside, and I want to travel, and I want to do all these things. And when are they going to open the country back up, the state, the church, whatever? Imagine being Noah, however, in this huge ark filled with animals, having to feed and care for them, and to be there in total about 370 days, the scriptures tell us. As we add up the figures of all the amount of time. So more than a year in our time frame of calendar, slightly longer than what we've been in a way, if you think about it. So in comparison, when we look at perspective sometimes, what seems really long to us is really, in comparison to what Noah and his family went through, slightly longer, to say the least, with a bunch of animals. And I'm sure it didn't smell too great on that ark either. So, but I'm going to go to chapter 8 and read here and give you some insight into what I think we can glean from these scriptures about where we are and how we can weather the storm, if you will, and wait this thing out with what our life is like right now. We're kind of like in a holding pattern and in a delay and things of this nature. And, you know, we're waiting. We don't know when it's going to be safe to reconvene and be together with one another. And we pray that it's soon, of course. Chapter 8, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the animals in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the waters, and the floods began to disappear. The underground water sources ceased their gushing, and the torrential rains stopped. You notice there's an end to everything. Torrential rains, the flood, and God decides he's going to bring this to an end, and so he does. Next verse 3. So the flood gradually there's an important word, gradually. Not a word that most of us like to hear. I like instantly, I like suddenly. I'm not so happy with gradually. However, gradually, the water and the flood began to recede. After 150 days, exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. 2.5 months later, so get this, right? The water recedes. They end up on the mountaintop. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Is it time to get out of the boat now? Well, 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, so it's a gradual receding of the waters, other mountain peaks began to appear. So notice this. The water is going down. The mountains, huge high mountains, are just the tip of them is starting to show up. And, you know, life is like that, where we feel deluged, we feel overwhelmed. And this isn't the only time many of us have felt that way. You feel like you're drowning. You feel like, you know, whatever it is in your life is just on top of you for whatever reason, problems, health concerns, issues, financial issues, whatever it might be. Those things, we're up to here sometimes in our eyeballs up to the waters. It seems like we're going to drown in our problems. But God has a way of those, that water recedes. It begins to go down. And we see that the good things begin to appear again. Good comes, even in the midst of a flood, even in the midst of a time when they had no idea how long they were going to stay in that ark, how long the water was going to be there. Little by little, the waters begin to go down, and there we get a glimpse. A little bit of hope begins to appear, and you start to see that. After another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat and released a raven that flew back and forth until the earth was dry. So this raven gets sent out to see how and when they're able for the other animals and birds to come out of the ark. Then Noah sent out a dove to see if it could find dry ground. Now, the difference between a raven and a dove is a raven could go farther, flies farther than what a dove does. A dove goes out shorter distances, smaller wings apparently, goes out shorter distance, and a raven goes out farther. So the first sign that God or Noah uses to see how much this water's receding is to send out the raven. And the raven took some time to come back because it hadn't found dry ground. And then the dove goes out, which means now Noah's figuring, okay, the raven came back. How much shorter, how much longer, if you will, is this going to take? Because now the dove goes a shorter distance. And what Noah's expecting the dove to do is to bring back an olive branch, something of the earth that shows that the waters and the trees are now dry. So here's what transpired. Then he sent out a dove to see if he could find dry ground, but the dove found no place to land because the water was still too high. So the raven could fly out, came back, the dove goes out, no, it's not safe enough to go out yet. You notice that they're using signs to see. This is how God is teaching Noah. He's sending out specific examples of when it's safe to go out. 7 days later, Noah releases the dove again. This time, toward evening, the bird returned to him with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Olive leaf, the sign of peace. Also the fact that 7 days later, now we know it's perfectly safe to leave the ark. Noah knew that the water was almost gone. Not quite yet then, right? There's ground there. There's leaves there. The peace had come back. God's peace had come back to them. But it wasn't quite time yet. So you notice how long this has gone on. But each time Noah is waiting for the appropriate sign, is it safe for us to leave the ark yet? This time toward evening, the bird returned to him with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Noah now knew that the water was almost gone. A week later, he released the dove again, and this time it did not come back. Finally, when Noah was 601 years old, 10 and a half months after the flood began, Noah lifted back the cover to look. So now he's looking outside. He sent the dove. The dove took off. Obviously, it found a place to go live. It was set free. And then he begins now, Noah, to look outside, whether it's safe to go out. The water was drying up. 2 months had went by, and at last the earth was dry. So notice this, 2 more months go by. This is a long process here for which Noah has to wait and see, when is it okay for me to leave the ark? Then God said to Noah, leave the boat, all of you. So you notice the last thing before Noah makes a move, before he leaves, he's seen the signs. One, he's seen the mountain peaks begin to appear. He watches the water receding, sends out the raven, sends out the dove twice, and then the dove doesn't come back. Noah looks outside of the ark. Is it safe yet? Doesn't go yet, but he's seeing that the land is dry, waits for God to say to him, leave the boat, all of you. Release all the animals and birds so they can breed and reproduce in great numbers. And boy, oh boy, there's lots and lots of birds all over the place, which I love to still see. So Noah, his wife, and his sons and their wives left the boat only after God told them to. That's what all of us have to do on any aspect of our lives. Yes, we can send out signs. Yes, we can ask for prayer. Yes, we can have somebody give us advice and we can look at things. But we, until we hear loud and clear in our spirit, God speak to us and tell us to go, that's the only time we go. And so, you know, as a leader in this church, and I know that, you know, certain states are opening up and Florida may very well open up and other churches have already been opened. When we hear God guide us through clear voice in our head and by the Holy Spirit, as God always does, with some signs along the way, until we hear God speak to us, not some other person outside on TV land or wherever they may be coming from, we're going to listen to the voice of God. And when God says go, we go. And that's related to this right here right now. But if each and every one of us will wait for God to speak to truly speak to us before we do anything, even though things might look okay, it might seem okay, you're seeing signs of maybe this is the way we ought to do this or whatever, wait for God to say go. And if God doesn't say go, you don't go. Pretty simple concept, isn't it? And I can think of all the times in my life when I went ahead of God. I got it in my mind that this is perfectly okay. I went ahead with sometimes even other people trying to give me advice and God saying, I don't think it's such a good idea, but I thought it was a great idea and consequently did it anyway. And it didn't turn out so well, to be honest with you. Never did and never did. However, on the other side of that, when something seemed really like wasn't a great idea, and I didn't really like the idea of going along with it, but God said do it, did it anyway, because God said do it. And it always worked out. So our will has to get set aside all the time for God's will. That's the great lesson we see with Jesus Christ. We know that. Even though he had to do something excruciatingly awful by going to the cross, he knew even on the night when his humanness came out, it was God's will, not his, that he would do. So that's the way we need to live all of our lives. When we do that, no matter what decision it is we make, if we'll listen to God, and I mean by being still, not trying to figure things out and getting all bunches of advice from all kinds of people, although that's fine, unless you know in your heart of hearts that God really is sending you forward, you don't move. And sometimes God is going to send us into circumstances that we're going to be like, what? Why are you sending me to go do this? Especially when fear kicks in. Especially when it's something difficult, like maybe forgiving somebody. God says, go make amends with that person or go take care of that person. You're like, yeah, but can't you send somebody else, God? We all have to be obedient to God at all times. That's the best way to have the best kind of life. So I know we're impatient people. Well, I know I'm an impatient person, and I can also be impetuous, and I can also try to, I have good ideas, and I'm a creative person, and I know that, but the timing may not be right. Just like Noah could see, maybe it's okay to step out, and maybe he could get his galoshes on and go out of the ark and not necessarily sink, or maybe he could go out and sink, and God would save him. Which I know God has saved me from some of those circumstances I've gotten myself into. However, when we want an easier, safer, better life, a more productive life, and a life that is good for us, you follow God's guidance only. And there's been times when it seemed like a not good idea at the time, or we're trying to rush ahead and maybe our intentions are good. That's okay. Problem is it lining up with what God wants? And is the timing right? We have to wait on God's timing for everything. And I think about Pastor Jamie right now. I'm thinking about how God's been preparing her to take over down the road as the senior pastor of our church. And God's been grooming Pastor Tosh to be the help with that and to be someone who has the other gifts and talents that Pastor Jamie doesn't, and they make a great team. They're yoked together perfectly in God's work. And we could easily see that either one of them could be the one to move forward with our church. However, God chose months ago for Pastor Jamie to be the one to start working here at the church full time, as I've been mentoring her. And Pastor Tosh has been able, through her work and through her skill level there and through the gifts and talents there, to be able to, as a couple, work together as co-pastors and a beautiful team. And little did we know that this pandemic was going to take place. And Pastor Jamie and I have been hanging out, talking, doing whatever, she's gotten the food pantry going with Pastor Tosh helping on those Saturdays and all the other stuff we've been doing prior to this. And bam, the pandemic hits us. Isn't it good to know that you have somebody younger than me, who I'm in the age bracket now that's I'm high risk, so consequently, I'm not supposed to be as interactive with folks because of my potential if I, you know, get the disease and or pass it on to my wife, Becky. But we have two pastors, younger and able, and Pastor Jamie particularly able because of not working a real so-called secular job anymore. She's got a really big job now, and the pay's pretty good, huh? Yeah. So that said, but God planned all that thing out. You notice how that happened? It was a surprise to us to a certain degree, but not a surprise. It wasn't a surprise to God. And it didn't happen instantly either, and it happened gradually. There's been a gradual progression of growth on both of those pastors and other people inside of our church and other people that are on our teams, the officers and the deacons. And so consequently, all together, God knew what was going to transpire in the future. He knows everything about our future. And this happened gradually. And then suddenly there was a need, and the need's being met. You see how God prepares everything to be ready for the absolute right time and right and right way. So we're the type of leaders, all of us here at this church, that if God says go, we go. If God says wait, we wait. If God calls us out to something even scarier, like becoming a full-time pastor and having to be here and learn the ropes, if you will, and work with a senior pastor who is really, well, never mind about me. But needless to say, it ain't been easy, folks. Just pray for them. But all that said, God has put all this together gradually for such a time as this. And it's so necessary that we have the ability, both of us and all of us, to be able to minister to you all. Each night, as you see, each and every one of us have a different personality, a different way that we bring forth the word or message or prayer. But all of it, because of the Holy Spirit, it reaches out and touches lives in so many different ways. And each of us can bring to people what they need through the gifts that each of us have in different ways. So we're gradually waiting to see what God's going to do next about this next course of action with our church and our world. But I know that God knows what we don't know. And I know God has a plan, and I know God's going to work it all out. So for us on the inside of the ark, if you will, I don't know what Noah did on that year, him and his wife and his family. All I know is they managed. No one got thrown overboard that I read in the scriptures. They all came out of the ark together. No one was hurt in the process. So they obviously grew closer together, I hope and pray. But that's what we want to do for us too as well. So gradually, that's the word, I guess, for tonight. Gradually, we'll find our way out of this. And whatever it is in your life that God wants you to choose, listen to God's voice. Make sure you know it's God's will. Pray about it. Wait on it. You'll know when it's right. Outside signs are all fine and good, but listen to God speak. God will speak through words in your own mind, in your heart, through something you read in scripture, something you feel inside that you know that this is the right thing to do. So are we there yet? I don't know. I don't know when we're going to arrive at the end of this journey, but I do know this. We will arrive. God will say when to get out of the boat, and life will begin again and be fresh and new. But in the meantime, God says go, we go. God says wait, we wait. And if he says step out and go do something that you've never done before, that's going to take growth, just go ahead and do it, because Jesus will be right there with you to carry you through. Amen. Amen.